4. I got some ground I would like to cover, Lord willing, and I'm going to take just verse number 1 for tonight. We're going to come back, I'm hoping, between tonight and Wednesday night to finish up this chapter. What I'm going to do with Job chapter 24 is we're just going to come back through it, and we're going to pull out some highlights to show you some things about wicked men, because the majority of what Job is talking about here in Job 24 is the wicked. And how this connects or how it relates is that as you get closer to the end times, the Bible says evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we know that that's going to happen. And we know that it definitely is happening. If you have eyes that are open whatsoever, you understand that it's happening. By the way, congratulations. She graduated this morning. That's why they weren't here. And it was supposed to be at 1 o'clock or something, so they were going to come to church and then blitz out to the graduation. And at the last minute, they moved it up to 11. Did I get all that right? So they had to be there for the graduation, but congratulations. I meant to say that before I started. So that's a big deal, man. Graduating high school, that's a lot of work. It's a good thing. All right, back on subject. So as we get closer to the end times, evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. Now here's how I'm hoping to actually get some help for us out of it. Next Wednesday night, I'm going to actually pull that over from just evil men and what they do, and I'm going to point out, with the Lord's help, my plan is to try to point out sin and how it works in human nature so we can recognize what we would call the smaller version of these things in ourselves. I want to just kind of throw this out there to you, and hopefully as we go on, you'll grab onto it better. I personally believe, and I got some reasons that I believe it, I'm just going to throw it out there. One of the number one signs of the end times is not just that evil men in the world are waxing worse and worse. I believe it's that evil men in church are waxing worse and worse. I believe that falling away is the saved people, God's people, not really wanting God anymore. Even though they're born again, they have very little and almost no desire to even be in church, to have the Bible preached, to have their lives changed, to sell out and live for God. And that falling away is more on the shoulders, from what I can tell, of the church than it even is this world. As the church falls away, I'm going to show you in just a couple minutes, as the church falls away, there's a restraining power in this world that dies off with it. So what has happened in the U.S., to make it personal at a national level, in the United States of America, we wanted God out of the church, we wanted God out of the schools. I mean, not the church, we wanted God out of the schools, we wanted God out of government, and we started pushing the Lord out and the Bible out. And so as a result, you see what's coming. Where did that even come from? It come from the church falling away. Saved people aren't taking God as serious as they used to. Saved people are backing off. We've backed off on our witnessing. We've backed off on really trying to lead people to Jesus Christ and take a stand for Jesus Christ. They're falling away for sure. What I want to deal with tonight is in verse number 1 of Job 24. He says, "Why seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days?" Let's pray. God, I ask you to help me tonight to keep my thoughts in order, and the things that I have prepared, may you bring them back to my mind. And Lord, I pray you'd allow me to say this in such a way that'll make sense. And that, Father, everybody in this room can grab a hold of it. Some of these things that we're going to go over tonight, some of the folks in this room have down pat. They know it to be true. And so I ask you, Lord, to just solidify them a little more in the truth and help them to get their roots a little deeper in the truth as you've helped me with it. And I thank you for that. And then I pray for those, Lord, who are newer, may understand some of these things and believe them, but not necessarily know how to prove them. I pray you'd prove it to them tonight, that we can have our doctrine right. And Lord, as a result, we can have our view of the world right and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ right. I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. All right, so notice in verse number 1, he says, "Why seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty." First thing I want you to notice is the times are not something God is trying to figure out. Right now, a lot of men are trying to figure out what's going on. Okay? And I'm going to warn you, as I began to allude to this morning in the preaching, there's a lot of preachers right now, and for the most part, the ones that I know of, I'd say 95% of them that are getting whacked out on this are the younger guys. I don't say that just to always bash on younger guys, but I say that because for me it helps a lot to see that there's some old guys who've been around for a little while that haven't budged a bit and aren't rattled up by all that's going on in the world, and they know what they believe. And I always pay attention. These kind of things always jump out at me when it's all the younger crowd that's kind of getting whacked out and getting, you know, rethinking things and changing their doctrine. And I'm not talking about one specific crowd. I'm talking about, I could name you, I could spend the whole hour going through a list of different guys from different quote-unquote camps that are all getting crazy on all kinds of stuff right now, and they're changing their doctrine up a little bit. And the problem, I reiterate to you again, the problem is everybody has a platform nowadays, whether they're qualified for it or not, because of social media and the internet. I believe with all my heart that whole internet thing and that social media stuff is so Luciferian, it's not even funny. It's the I. It's the attention all on me. It's the recognition on me. I think it's absolutely absurd when a grown man, whether he's young or old, will be, you know, click and like and share and, you know, make sure you like and click and comment. And you're like begging people. That would literally, this is literally what that is. Although it's accepted in our culture nowadays, I'm wanting you to grab a hold of this. I'm not just trying to rant on somebody or trying to pressure you to be off all that stuff. I want you to grab a hold of what I'm saying here. What would you think if at the end of the message, brother, if that was good, tell me. And tell him and him and him and him and him and have them listen to it. Was that good? Did you like that? Make sure you share and tell them how great. And you liked it. I know you liked it. You're always smiling. I'll move on because you're getting shy. And you listen real close. So why don't you tell everybody else how great I was? What would you do with me? I mean, there would come a point where just maybe the deacons would probably have to say, you know what, guys, I mean, we don't ever do this. This has never happened before, but I kind of think preacher needs to see a doctor. Let's see if we can get him in the office and talk to him a little bit about just kind of like letting it go. Right? I mean, would that not kind of, wouldn't you be like, what is wrong with this guy? Why is it that nobody asks that question now? When guys are posting everything on their social media and trying to get everybody to follow them and like them and get the word out and get my name out so you know who I am, there is a problem with that. Listen, throughout time, God has always picked a man to do a job with. Let's run her back. How about Noah? God said, I want you to preach for 100 years. I want you to prepare an ark. And I want you to take all this time doing so. And then I'm going to use you to save 8 people. You're going to have an 8 people church. You and your family get in the ark and that's it. And a bunch of animals. I care about those animals. The rest of them, I'm going to drown them all out. The animals are more important than those beastly human beings and the filth that they're into. God picked a man. And then God promotes that man as God sees fit, when God sees fit, if God sees fit. You're not going to go back in history and find great men that God used who didn't first learn, didn't first sit under somebody. Nowadays, you got so many guys out there that are just, they're wanting all the fame and all the recognition and all the prominence, and they don't have an old man that beat them down a little bit. I'm sorry, you don't become a Navy SEAL, one of the elitist of the elites. And listen, I'm not saying spiritually speaking, pastors are any more than the average saved person. God says we're weak. God says we're base because that's what he chooses. But out of 100 or 150 people, there might be one preacher in that assembly, one pastor in that assembly, right? Sure. You don't think you think a guy gets there without getting his beatdowns first? You don't create a good soldier without first beating him down, without first taking him and shaving his head, You take away all his clothes and you hand him what he's going to wear. You tell him how to walk, how to stand, how to talk, how to say yes, sir, how to be do exactly what he's told to do when he's told to do it, and it chafes every single one of their pride to no end. You find his buttons and you push his buttons to try to provoke his temper to see if he can control himself, because that is the only way he's going to ever become a true soldier. Nowadays, you've got a bunch of young guys who want to just graduate from college and just go be somebody. There is a problem in this culture, in this world, with self-promotion and guys now in the ministry and out teaching and preaching on the internet that are infiltrating churches that God never gave them to pastor and influencing people that God never intended for them to influence because, oh, he's got 1,000 likes, he's got 1,000 views, he's got 3,000 views, so he must be somebody. I don't think so. Why is nobody stopping and going, you know what, I don't even really know this guy. I'm just listening to him on the internet. I've just heard about him. I know nothing of his character. I know nothing of his life. I haven't seen him go through the ups and the downs. I haven't seen him when he's happy and when he's not happy. I haven't seen him be faithful when he doesn't feel like it. No, you're not going to persuade me that the doctrine I've been taught and the doctrine that I believe is wrong by clicking on your little video with the dramatic music in the background, and then running your agenda. Let me just say one more thing, and I'm done with my little introduction here. I can take my Bible, and I can make it say anything that I want it to say. Quite literally, just about anything. You can go and you can add up numbers. I have heard and seen preachers, and I don't know... Whatever, you can't really prove this stuff either way, so I'm not going to get all whole hog on it. Here's the name of the Antichrist. By adding this number in this verse, and then if you take away one, but you add seven, seven being the number of perfection, also the number of completion, but if you take away the one, you add the seven, look what you got. Everybody goes, ooh. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever, man. I'm not impressed because I could go through my Bible and do the exact same thing and make it say what I want it to say. So what I want to try to show you tonight is that there are some things that only God knows. And you and I have to be content to accept the fact that some things only God knows. And he's told us the part he wants us to know. And he's actually told us that part pretty clearly. The problem is the stuff isn't taught very often. In verse 1, here's what the neat application. And I'm going to be giving you more doctrine tonight, teaching tonight. But I kind of want to try to keep pulling in some practical stuff because I want you to get some practical help. Because I don't know about you, but I live in a very practical world. You're staring at me like that. I don't know what planet you've been on, guys. We've had quite the week. In the midst of everything else that you know about, we've told you about, had you prayed about, our fridge goes out. Our fridge and freeze. I walk in the kitchen and there's water all over the floor. And I'm like, that ain't cool. Someone ate. That's not supposed to, not there. The bad spot. And that's way too big to be the puppy. Way too big to be Coco. And I know Sarge wouldn't do something like that because he's the world's perfect dog. So I open up the fridge and all my stuff in my freezer is all mushy. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Call consumers, you know, because we got the plan. We pay $30 a month, so all our stuff is covered and it's budgeted in and we don't have to worry about any surprises. The guy comes out. He has no idea what it is, but he thinks what we're going to do is just replace the motherboard because that'll probably address a lot of different things at one time. I'm like, okay. He never got the panels off. He's just going to replace the motherboard. I'm like, he said, I hope it works. And, you know, it will be here anytime between this day and this day. And he gave me like a week span. I'm like, that's great, man. I got 4 kids. You understand what that means? Well, thankfully, the part got there the next day. And he came back the day after that, which was Saturday. Put the motherboard in. No change. He said, well, if I could see the coils, I'd know whether or not it's frosting up. And I said, well, see the coils. He couldn't figure out how to find the coils. And I said, I'm not trying to, you know, tell you how to do your job or nothing, but there's little arrows there, the little tabs. Maybe you pop those out, but you know more about this than I. He goes, oh, no, I don't know much about this at all. I'm new. Oh, he's 60 years old, man. I'm going, oh, Lord, help me not to lose my testimony. I was done. Because he left, couldn't figure out how to get the back off to see the coils. He said, well, I'll call you in an hour, and if it's not getting colder, you know, let me know, and we'll come back. And I'm like, I've had it with this guy. He couldn't figure anything out. So he's taking a picture of the motherboard so he knows how to put everything back in the right spot. I'm going, I could have done that, bro. So next thing you know, he calls me an hour later, and I was had it with him. I was that close, right? And he says, okay, it's not working. I will take care of this. I'll be back Monday, and I'm going to bring somebody who knows more than me, and we'll get this figured out. And I said, thank you. That's actually really good service on your part, and I really appreciate that. I was going to axe him until he had the humility to say, I'm bringing somebody back who knows more than me, so I backed off on him, and I made him my friend. But I live in a practical world. That's the point. And I need some practical help sometimes so I don't shoot the appliance guy.
Sure.
Now, practically speaking, in verse number 1, he said, I don't understand why, since God knows, he lets these wicked people keep going. Isn't that what he's saying? Why, seeing times aren't hid from the Almighty, God understands times, do they that know him not see his days? Why is God allowing these wicked fools to keep up with their foolishness? Keep your finger here in Job, or you know what? You don't even have to. We've got a bunch of places to go, and we're probably not going to make it back. Keep that thought in your mind, if you would. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'm going to kind of bring this full circle, and what we're going to do first is answer this question about why all this madness in the world we're living in, and why is it that God is saying something like evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, and why would God let it go? Why is it that the righteous like Job suffer when they're doing right, and wicked men seem to get away with murder, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, here's what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthian church. He says, "But look at verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Do you see what that says? Who is the God of this world? That's Satan. It's a small g, right? In whom, that's not talking about God Almighty. He said, the God of this world. Do you folks get it? That ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your fathers ye will do, like we preached this morning? You're of the world. You're from beneath. There is a God running this world, and it is not the Lord God Almighty. It is Lucifer. He's the God of this world. Times are not hidden from the Almighty. And in this time, he has allowed Lucifer to be the God of this world. He knows what he's doing. You and I don't always know what God is doing. I don't care how spiritual you think you are or you may be. You don't always know what God's doing any more than Job knew what God was doing here. This is why you and I got to have some faith. God gave us this book so we can step behind the scenes and see and then make that application to our life. And I'm telling you right now, like I was preaching to you this morning, I'm trying not to preach tonight, but I got a lot of preaching me. 3 times a week ain't enough. You want to start meeting more?
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that. So listen, I'm telling you right now, that book in your lap is God's way of getting you through, because you will see by studying the Bible and getting these practical applications to your life, if you stick it out, you will see that Bible play out in your life. I'm telling you right now, you'll see it play out. It's amazing. But you don't always know what's going on at the time. The God of this world is Lucifer, and he's blinded their minds. Now, watch this. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. So what is God doing right now? I'll tell you exactly what God's doing right now, and then I'm going to show you some verses in relation to the rapture that'll really bring all this to light even more. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 20. So why does God allow them to see his days? Why is it that since times aren't hidden from the Almighty, why does God let people live? Folks, isn't it, sometimes life is pretty good, ain't it? Not always, not 2020, but you know, sometimes life is pretty good. You ever see a beautiful morning with them birds just singing away and the sun shining? And some of you aren't up that early. You need to try it one time. Just get up early enough to watch the sun come up and to listen to the birds sing and just sit out on your porch. Don't be ultra like, you know, holy roller. I think you ought to be from time to time. You ought to be at some point every day on your knees in prayer. But every once in a while, it's okay not to be ultra holy roller, but to just stand before the Lord, to walk with the Lord a little bit, and just sit out there, wherever you got a spot you can, and just listen to the birds sing. And just tell God what a great job He did. It's a great thing to be alive on God's planet, ain't it? Job's saying, if times aren't hidden from you and you created it, why are you allowing these wicked men to see your days? I don't get it. God says, hey, the God of this world's blinded their eyes. I'm allowing them to see my days because I realize they got a God running them right now that's got their minds and eyes blocked, and I want to reach them. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. God postponed His judgment for a long time. Why? Because He's preparing an ark that would have been big enough for more of them to get on. There was plenty of room, just like there's still room at the cross. Why are we still here? Because there's still room at the cross. What are we supposed to be doing here? Understand the time God put you in. Know where you are. Understand God has times in His hand. And right now, what you and I need to be obsessed with is the gospel. We need to be obsessed with reaching some of these people for Jesus Christ. I'm super happy that we've seen three people saved this month. And we got a fourth one that's real close. I mean, real close. We got the hook set. We're just trying to get him in the boat. Pray about that. I'm real happy about that. I told one of my kids, or all my kids or something, I said, it's been too long since somebody had been saved, and it had been a week. And then somebody got saved last Sunday night, so we came home, and they said, you need to say that every day, Dad. I said, you're absolutely right. I love it, man. But why? Because the gospel's what we need. These people coming along and getting saved, man, that's a blessing. I get excited about that stuff. That I don't ever want to sit in a church, and I don't ever want to pastor a church where all we got's a bunch of people that always, oh, this is what we've always done, and this is how we know, and this is how we dress, and this is how we act. Every once in a while, you got to have a few babies around the house. I mean, I'm sorry, but I like kids, and I like dogs, and I don't care if you like me or don't like me for that. Three's a crowd, preacher. You got a third dog? I got a third dog, and it's another pit bull, and I don't care. Why? Hey, man, when everybody's stressed and worried and stuff, there ain't nothing like a puppy to give you something to do, to clean up after, to stop them from chewing everything. I mean, ain't nothing like a puppy, man. I love dogs. I love kids. They're a blessing. I mean, I don't want to go back to that stage. We're kind of happy where we're at, and we're liking it moving forward. Amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But kids are a blessing, man. There's something about kids that are just, they just lighten everything up. They don't walk in full of burdens and worried about the bills and the coronavirus. They're just, ah! You know, they're just here and they're happy. And I like kids. You know, a healthy church ought to have some baby Christians running around. They come in and they get some of you old fuddy-duds going again. You're like, man, if they're getting so excited about this, what's wrong with me? Maybe I need to get right with God. I lost my joy. You're not supposed to lose your joy. It's supposed to build up with time. I'm going to get more excited as I get old. I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm all crippled up and stuff, but I'm going to start throwing stuff at you. I don't know, but I'm going to get more excited, God helping me. Why? It's supposed to build up, man. That's a blessing. I don't ever want to be a part of church where people stop getting saved. Do you understand the time you're in? This lost world needs the gospel. You've got it. Give it to them. God is long-suffering. Why has God put up with this mess as long as He had? Same reason He did in 1 Peter. Because He's long-suffering. He wants more of them to get in the boat. But he'll still build an ark just for eight. Those eight are important to him. 2 Peter chapter 3. Why is it that they see the times of the Almighty? Why does God put up with them? Why is it that a holy man like Job is suffering while he's trying to serve God and a wicked man is getting blessed like crazy? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God ain't slack concerning His promise. You know what the Lord said? Let me give you a promise. We're going to talk about this one tonight. He said He's coming again.
Well, it's been a long time. Preacher's been saying that for years.
Yeah, I know they have. He's coming. Well, 1,000 years is one day with the Lord, right? And a day is 1,000 years. So to you and I, we're looking at 2,000 years and we're going, whoa. And God's going, are you kidding me, man? I've only put, you older folks been around a little while. How long is 2 days? Come on, Tim, you get that smile. Come on, you tell us how long 2 days is. Tim's like, I just fell asleep and I woke up and it'd been 2 days, man. You're welcome. It ain't long. Can you imagine if these guys, I mean, I know you kids, 2 days, it's like, oh, right? But to some of these older guys, they're going to tell you, hey, it goes really fast. Now imagine if you're the Ancient of Days, if you're God Almighty, how 2,000 years looks. And you're calling him a liar, you're going to step over there in eternity and you're going to find out God's like, you're like, wow, Lord, you came that quick? That was quick. See, we're just pretty puny. We're pretty minute. We're pretty small. God's coming. I know to you it seems like a long time, but to God it isn't. Look at verse 15 in 2 Peter 3:15, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. He said, you know what the Lord's putting up with them for? Why is it that these guys get to see God's days? I tell you the truth. These guys, you see, look at the news, man, and you want to puke. I mean, I'm literally losing my appetite to even look at the news anymore. Because even when there's no bad news, they find bad news. Some of the article, the headlines, you go like, that is such a bunch of baloney. If you slow down for a second before you click and just start, the stuff is wired in such a way as to grab your attention, drive you right to the worst case scenario, to panic you, to get you to read. Because that's how they get paid. To get you to read. I wonder what's clickbait and what's real news. It is all clickbait. It's all clickbait. Pay attention to the headline, and then you go read the article, and a headline was completely misleading. Pay attention. Think. Don't react. Think. Why does God put up with this mess? Same reason I put up with these Kleenexes. That's the third week. I'm not really mad. I'm just... I got to make sure I say this because people that aren't here and listen can't tell. They can't see my face when I do this stuff. Like, wow, that guy's an idiot. Well, that's true, but I wasn't being just now. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want you to see verse number 18. So God waits for a long time to bring judgment. And you and I look at it and we say, that ain't fair, that ain't just. Okay, so you calling God unjust? Well, I'm just saying, that ain't fair, that ain't just. Okay, so are you saying God won't execute judgment? See, you and I think things are the end when they're not the end yet. So in this lifetime, it is way premature to ever judge God on anything. When I say judge God, I mean critically judge God. Well, that wasn't fair. God didn't do that one right. Yeah, well, why don't you wait till they get before the great white throne judgment and find out exactly how God deals with it. And stop counting his long suffering that you see right now as injustice. Does that make sense? Watch this one in Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, this is speaking to the Christian, this is Job in his anguish, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So not only does God's judgment on the lost wait and is coming, God's reward for the righteous also waits and is coming. You know what he's saying there in Romans chapter 8? He's saying this. He's saying, you're suffering right now and you're looking at your life like, man, this is bad. This is real bad. I don't get this. What the Bible tells you is that when you get to heaven, to the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and off into the millennium, what glory you're going to get, what reward you're going to get for the suffering you're doing now, when you look back, you're going to say, God, I realize in the flesh that I kind of went through some things, but what you've given me is way disproportionately too much compared to what I went through. Not only does God's judgment on the lost wait, but also God's reward for the righteous waits. Now, God will and does bless you in this lifetime. You've heard my story. I told my wife, you know, you're never going to own your own home and all this stuff. And God's been so much better to me than I ever imagined in a million years. I still sit there in the mornings. I'm not over, you know, you get a new house, it's the greatest thing for a little while, and then you're over it in a couple months, right? I have not gotten over it. I'm just like, Lord, I just cannot believe how good you have been to me and my wife and my kids. And I just love you, man. It's great. And I have seen God's blessings in this lifetime. But I'm just saying, this stuff doesn't even really matter. This stuff doesn't even really satisfy, because with it comes, you know, refrigerators that break down and, you know, septic fields that go out, and, you know, all that stuff, you know, tanks that overflow and you got to stick your arm down in there and, you know, all that kind of stuff. This stuff's nothing, folks. Yeah, God will bless you in this lifetime, but really, this isn't what you're really living for. Blessings in this life are not really what we need. What we need is the glory that, it's not even going to compare to what it is we've been through in this lifetime. Just stick with God. Do right. Be faithful. Understand that the timing and the times are in the hands of God. We'll go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter number 13 and look at verse 11. Now, Job just said that times aren't hidden from the Almighty, right? Look at Romans 13, 11. And that knowing the time. So, times are not hidden from God. Let me ask you a question. Exactly when is the rapture going to happen? Be careful. Be careful before you answer that. Some of the guys now think that they can. Exactly when is the millennium going to kick off? Exactly when is the millennium going to end? Hey, there was not a greater Bible teacher in the United States of America ever than Dr. Ruckman, in my opinion. And I think that's actually quite, more than just my opinion, quite confirmable. And you know what, he had a great suggestion as I was listening to some of his stuff. He was just kind of kicking it out there. I don't think he was authoritatively saying this either way, but he was just saying, well, what if the second you pass away and you're present with the Lord, the judgment seat starts? Just an idea, just a thought, just a thought. You know how much when he was teaching, and he could put more things together than any 50 guys nowadays that are 45 years and under. Any 50 preachers anywhere that I know of in America right now, 45 years and under, add them all up together, and they couldn't scratch the surface of what that man could teach you from the Bible, the questions he could answer. He had an IQ that was through the roof. And most of these guys, if you add up two or three of their IQs, they'd be, you know, trying to compete with his and still be falling short. I'm not trying to be mean to them. I'm just trying to say, if God didn't gift you to be somebody, don't you dare try to be that. Be yourself. I ain't no Peter Ruckman. I ain't no Bible teacher. I don't even like doing teachings like this. I like to preach. Nowadays, everybody wants a teachy pastor. It's a bummer. You know, I wish I liked to teach. I wish I was good at teaching. I wouldn't run so many people off, but it's not what God made me. I got to just accept it. I'm actually good with it. I'm kind of happy that God made me me. The only thing I've had a problem with is I'm 5'6". I feel kind of cramped in here. I get a little claustrophobic. You know what I'm saying? Like, I needed a little more room for all the energy I got. But, you know, outside of that, I'm good with what God's done with me. Amen? Why? I'm not trying to be somebody else. Dr. Ruckman is saying, who knows? So who do some of these guys think they are when a guy who's 70, 65, 70, 80 years old would say, hey, how about this thought? How about that thought? How about that thought? How about that thought? Well, what about this? And you got all these guys running around thinking that they know, and people are eating it up. There's some things that are only in the hands of God, and he sealed them up. And that is his glory, and you're not going to uncover them if God doesn't want you to uncover them. I'm going to show you in just a minute. But he does want you to know what time you're in. What time are you in? Well, this is the church time. This is the time. This is a time when God's dealing with individuals, not nations, individuals. What time is it? It's time for the gospel. What time is it according to Romans 13? It's high time. Knowing the time that now it is high time. That's not the way everybody wants it to mean. See, I told you I can make the Bible say anything I want it to say. Oh, half of you are getting it. I know now who's carnal and who's spiritual in the church. I was the one making the joke. I guess I'm with you carnal folks. I told you can make the Bible say what it's high time, bro. You see that, man? Oh, it's high time what? That you do what? That you wake out of sleep. For what? Watch this. For what? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Okay? So, of course, because every day that passes is one day farther away from the day I got saved. All right. Watch verse 12. The night is far spent. The church, the dispensation of the church, the dispensation of the grace of God, however you want to define it, whatever, you'll have people that'll split hairs with you and debate with you over every little thing that comes out of your mouth. Just ignore that stuff. It's no big deal. The time period that you're in is the Jew, the Gentile, in one body. It's the church, right? And it's nighttime. The night is what? The day is what? Now, get this in your head. I want you to hang on to these two things. The coming of Christ and the day of the Lord are not the exact same thing. That is important for you all to get a hold of to understand some of the doctrine we're going to look at. The coming of Christ and the day of the Lord is not the same thing. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now watch. He said, it's nighttime and you're walking, but walk honestly as though you're walking in the light. Because you live in a dark time and a dark world. So walk like you're walking in the light, right? What is it that is darkness? Look at this. Rioting. Not a news headline. Rioting. Drunkenness. I would love for sobriety tests to be done on all the protesters that are the rioting ones, not the peaceful protesters, the rioters, you know. So much of this, they're always trying to make everything this side of the aisle and that side of the aisle all the time. Why? Because there's a spirit of strife and envying. All of your news media, it is all about strife, strife. The more abrasive and argumentative they are, the more watches they get. Because it appeals to human nature and your flesh. Debating and all that stuff, just people love it. They eat it up. Chambering, wantonness, strife, envying, all signs of, these are sins that Christians who are walking in the light should not be involved in. But the more you see this in the world, you know the night is far spent, the day is at hand. So he says this, you're to cast these works off, and you're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts. So don't get involved in all that kind of stuff. You know what's funny to me is that years ago, it was so commonplace, it probably still is, that churches were split over the color of carpet. God's people. Literally ready to destroy a ministry over the color of the carpet. Well, we wanted this color and they wanted that color and big votes and big splits and church fights over every little thing. Control. Church splits over control. Now, I mean, I know situations, there's a pastor and he's had a younger pastor's wife, and so the old women, well, the elder are supposed to teach the younger. So if there's going to be any ladies' things, it's like, well, the pastor's wife can't do it. One of the older ladies has to do it because elder have to teach the younger. And big church splits and fights over, I mean, just on and on and on and on it goes. And it's like, where in the world did church go? And now the world's acting that way, and the church wants to act like, oh, well, what did you expect the lost people to do? You've been acting like that for years. I mean, you're not burning things down about somebody, a police officer killing a guy. You're burning things down. You are burning the house of God down. You are burning a church down over the color of carpet or not getting your way over something stupid. And you didn't see the spiritual devastation of what you were doing as an issue at all. But now all of a sudden, you're all up in arms that they're burning down cities over somebody getting killed. Not saying it's okay what they're doing. I'm just saying, do you see the hypocrisy? So I'm going to keep trying to apply this to the church because we got to get some help out of this study, but we still need to do this study. All right, I want you to go next, if you would please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, don't forget, I told you at the beginning that Job, having 42 chapters, is a picture of the Jew in the tribulation period, 42 months, right? That 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, when after the rapture, that's my position, and it always has been. And guess what? It still is. You know why? Because I didn't know about a virus back then. That's why. No, it still is my position, and it's not changing because it was Bible. And it still is Bible. I don't care what happens in the world. It still is Bible. I don't care about a blood moon. I don't care about a virus. I don't care about riots and looting. I could care less if Mickey Mouse is the next president of the United States of America or Vladimir Putin somehow moves over here and gets voted in as the president. It's not going to change my position one iota because the book hasn't changed. Did you notice in Romans 13 that we just read? He said the day is what? At hand. Was he lying? You mean he was telling them back there to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? So who do you think you are to say, oh, it's 2025. Oh, it's 2020, clear vision. We're going to see him and look upon him. And oh, it's 2033. Oh, it's 2050. It's 2100. Who do you think you are? Paul said it's at hand. Be ready. I have told you and told you and told you, and I'm going to keep telling you nothing. We're not waiting for anything. Jesus Christ might come back tonight. Wouldn't that be great? Amen. Especially if you're an adult. These kids are like, I want to grow up and get married and have a kid, and then he can come. Right before the first bills in reality hits me. But you adults have been around a little while. You're like, yeah, let's go. 1 Thessalonians, are you there? Chapter 4. Look at verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, that's those who have passed away, will God bring with him. Watch. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the what? Day of the Lord? No, unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. Way to remember the meaning of that word would be pre-event. We're not going to go first. We're not going to be the first event. They are. Prevent them which are asleep. Watch this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay. So he said, the coming of the Lord, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. What's going to happen to us when the Lord comes? We're not going to prevent them that are asleep. The Bible says he's going to come in the clouds, right? Go to Acts chapter 1. Keep your finger here in 1 Thessalonians because we're coming back here in a minute. Go to the book of Acts chapter 1. I want you to get the difference between the coming of the Lord and the day of the Lord. Acts chapter 1. Look at verse, let's just jump down here to verse, 3. To whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, But wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time, times aren't hidden from the Almighty, but some of them are hidden from us, restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. They're asking him about when he's going to set up his kingdom on this earth. And his answer to the disciples was, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. Do you know what that means? It's in the power of God when he kicks off what?
Well, the temple in Jerusalem has to be, we got to wait and see the Antichrist rise.
You've been reading the wrong passages and you don't understand rightly dividing, or you've been listening to the wrong preachers and they don't understand rightly dividing. You want clickbait? I don't want to get clickbait. I know salesman. You just scare people a little bit. Just talk about tribulation a little bit. That's why the JWs or whoever it is, they run those crazy billboard signs on the highways with the flying lions and all that crazy stuff, and then they set up a Bible study because people come for that stuff, boy. But you talk about a rapture, that's a mystery that has to be searched out in the scriptures, and the Lord has to open your eyes to the way that thing works, and then you tell them, we don't have a definite answer for you, so just be ready. Live like he's coming today. And they go, yeah, that wasn't the message I wanted. Yeah, I'll bet it's not the message you wanted because you don't want to knock off your stupidity and get serious about God. Exactly. That's why this stuff ain't popular. The Father put it in his own power. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, watch it, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a what? Received him out of their sight. And while they steadfastly looked toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. How's he going to come? In the clouds. And according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the coming of the Lord is supposed to be a comfort to you, not a terror. Hang on to that. Hang on to that in your mind. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 1. You should be right there because we were in 4. I asked you to save that spot for this reason. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse number 1. What's the first word? What is that? That's a contrast and conjunction, right? That's a contrast, but that's the contrast of what he was saying. We ended verse 18 with comfort. Comfort from the coming of the Lord. Of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need I write unto you. You don't need me to tell you about it. You don't need to obsess about it. Relax. For yourselves know perfectly that the what? Coming of the Lord? Every word of God is what? Every word of God is pure. Every word. So it says the day of the Lord, not the coming of the Lord, for a reason, because God wants you to get a message. So cometh as a thief in the night. Jesus Christ ain't coming for his bride as a thief in the night. He said, you're going to see him, the same Jesus, in like manner as he went up. Hey, guys, why stand gazing? The same way he came, he left, he's coming. Hey, comfort one another with these words. He's coming to get you. You're not going to prevent them which are asleep. You're going to go together with him. You're going to meet him in the air and ever be with the Lord. You're going to meet him in the air. You're going to meet him in the air. At the second advent, his foot touches down. He comes to earth. You and I are going to meet him in the air. That's important. Now, in the contrast, he's saying this. There's something going to happen where he comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. What comfort is in that? Do you see the contrast the Lord has given you? Cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. It's not going to get you like that. You're children of the light and children of the day, and are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. You know what he's saying? He's saying, since you're not of what they're of, don't act like they act. That's what that's saying. He said, the day of the Lord is coming, and the day of the Lord is coming very differently than the coming of Christ. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll get through this one, and then we'll stop here because I got more to show you, and I don't really want to rush it. So we'll stop with this chapter. Just give me a couple more minutes. We'll run through this chapter real quick, and I hope this will help you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by what? The day of the Lord? Every time he's talking to the brethren about their comfort, he talks about the day of the Lord, and he says, now, I don't want you to get all wound up about the day of the Lord. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. I don't want you to get all wound up about the day of the Lord. It's going to come as a thief in the night, and those people are living like that. Don't live like them, because as we get closer to the end, their spirit is going to ramp up in the world, because the spirit of God's influence in the world is waning. I'm going to show you that in this passage. The spirit of God's influence in the world is waning as you get closer to the end. Not that God himself is waning, but his spirit is waning. Why? Because his people are not filled with his spirit anymore and doing their job. I'm going to show you in just a minute what I'm saying. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our what? Gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, nor by YouTube, nor by Facebook, nor by, amen, that's good, I appreciate it, thank you, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. What? Wait a minute, what? I beseech you by the coming of the Lord, that's what you're supposed to be looking for, is when he calls you up into those clouds. We'll get to more of that Wednesday night. I beseech you by what you're looking for, the coming of Jesus Christ. You got to be excited about this. Not to get all wound up about the day of the Lord. They say the day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, the day of Christ, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the sop Judas handed to Jesus Christ. Son of perdition. Remember that? Or Jesus Christ handed to him, I think it was. That the man of sin, so what's going to happen? A falling away. You're already seeing that. The man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's going to be pretty obvious, right? So if we're going into the tribulation period, are we looking for the Antichrist? Well, if the rapture of the church happens after the tribulation, you're absolutely looking for the Antichrist. But the rapture of the church is not happening after the tribulation, not according to the Bible. You're looking for Jesus Christ. You're looking for the coming of the Lord, not the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming when he comes and says, I've had enough of this foolishness. And he comes and puts his foot down on the earth and splits that Mount of Olives. Bam! That's every eye shall see him in Revelation. All the kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. The rapture, we'll see it next week. The rapture you and I are looking for is a mystery. All the world's not going to see him. They're going to believe a great lie about what happened to us. This is the great lie. It's not the coronavirus, you jackleg. You don't even know your Bible. Shut up. I hope YouTube shuts you down and you scream and yell about your liberties. Amen. Why? Because you're a jackleg. He's going to come. He's going to put his foot down. Bam! And split a mountain, man. I mean, are you kidding me? The whole world's going to be like, ah! You can use hyperbole both directions. Amen. That's not what you and I are looking for. We're looking for him to come and call your name and get you out of here. Peace is going to flood your soul, man. I mean, you're going to feel like something electric. I mean, it's going to be awesome. There ain't a dope head on the planet that ever had a better rush than what you're going to have when the rapture hits. I'm telling you right now, you're going to be like, whoa! I mean, man, yeah! You don't have to be afraid, kids. Even if you don't like Cedar Point. If you like it, it's better than anything you've ever had there. But even if you don't like it, you're not going to have a problem with this one. He's going to comfort you instantly. You're going to know him, man. My sheep know my voice. You're going to know him, boy. Let me get back here because I'm going to wind up going too long. So what happens in verse 5? He says, remember ye not when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth. Now hang on a second. You gotta pay attention here. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed when? In his time. What's withholding? We'll come back to that in a second. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Ah, okay. So why is it seeing times aren't hidden from the Almighty? Do they that are see his days? Well, the mystery of iniquity, he said all the way back here in 2 Thessalonians when he's writing the book, the mystery of iniquity is working. The Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist is working on the planet now. In Paul's day, almost 2,000 years ago, the spirit of Antichrist was already working in the world. You got that? That's what he said. He said it doth now already work, right? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. He who now letteth will let. All right, now come to the pulpit and preach a message on that verse. Good luck. Well, you know what the word letteth means? It means to forbear. It means a retarding, and not in the sense of somebody who's got a mental handicap. It means a postponing, a pushing back. It means an obstacle, a delay, a hindrance, an impediment. The word let means to lease, to grant possession and use for a compensation. Let me ask you a question. Who owns this world right now? Who's the God of it? God's the landlord, and he's leased it out. And what's his compensation? You are. What's his compensation? All those unholy people who he's letting see his day, and you go, why would God put up with that? Why wouldn't God kill them while the righteous are suffering? The righteous are suffering, folks, because they're living in this Satan's world. He's rented it out. You're on his territory. Of course he's going to torture you. Why is God putting up with them? Oh, God, the devil's blessing them. Yeah, God's putting up with them because God's trying to get some compensation for his lease. And it's their souls. For his son's sake. You got that? And in the end, when the Lord's ruling over this thing, he's going to right every single wrong, and not one of you is going to pay one price that you don't get rewarded for more than you deserve to be rewarded. Isn't that a blessing? It is to me. So he who now letteth will let until he be what? Taken where? Out of the way. Oh. How does that happen? How is the one who's letting this planet taken out of the way? Well, don't you know what you are? Come on, don't you know you can't answer that? You don't know what you are? Aren't you the temple of the Holy Ghost? Aren't you the body of Jesus Christ? What's going to happen when the tribulation kicks off and the man of sin is revealed and all literal hell breaks loose on this earth? You know what's going to happen? You're going to be pulled out of the way. You're an impediment. You're a problem. You're a problem to the devil. You're a problem to this world. You're a problem to this world system. They don't like you. He don't like you. He don't want to put up with you. He don't like your preacher. He don't like your church. He don't want to put up with it because you're in his way. He's got an agenda, and you're stopping his agenda. And God's going to go, all right, I'm going to leave him there. Why? Because his time ain't there yet, and I have a block for him. Until I'm ready to release him in judgment on this wicked world, when my long suffering runs out and I'm ready to release my judgment, I'm going to pull my people out and I'm going to let my hand go the same way. Oh, wait a minute. God and the devil work so closely together sometimes you can't tell the difference. Isn't that what's happening to Job? God says, all right, Lucifer, have at him. And a tribulation hits Job's life. God's going to say, I'm pulling my bride out. I'm going to let loose the Antichrist. I'm going to put a whooping on Israel like she ain't ever seen in her entire beginning. All the way back to Abraham, she ain't never seen it this bad. I'm going to put a whooping on her, and she's going to start looking for me while I pull my people out in a rapture. Tribulation breaks loose on this earth. He ain't sending you in the world. You shall have tribulation. You're going to have your tribulation work with patience, not the great tribulation when Lucifer himself is let loose, when the Antichrist himself is let loose. God's getting you out of here. And that's as obvious as the nose on my face, which is growing more obvious every day. So I'm hoping this doctrine gets more obvious to you the longer I pastor you. Because you need to get a hold of this with all the foolishness going on in this world. For the mystery of iniquity in verse 7 doth now already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, capital W, that is the name, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I'm going to stop right there. I was going to show you the rest of this passage. We'll probably pick it up here on Wednesday night.